Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
This is Hidden Tillers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Dree.
All right, we got a lot to get through today, and it's your questions, and we got answers, again, because we're Radio Shack. We bought the rights to it, and we're also selling AA batteries right back over here in case you need any. They're really overpriced, and they're not going to last you very long, but they're Radio Shack. Anyway, we are here. We're going to break down the latest in the Nancy Guthrie case. It's becoming about the Sheriff Nanos case. It's like two separate things at this point, but all intertwined. So leave us your questions in the comments section for that, and we're going to try and answer them live here during this discussion. And we'll also, of course, continue the conversation off the air after the fact. And we're also going to be talking about the latest on the Kelsey Fitzsimmons case. Let's start out with Nancy Guthrie. You've been sending in the questions, not about the suspect, not about the evidence, but the man running the investigation, how the sausage is made. And maybe because there's a problem at the sausage factory, nobody's getting their sausages. Robin Drake is with us, as always, retired FBI Special Agent Chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. This is fascinating. I was working on a story about Nancy Guthrie just the other day, and then this popped up into the ether of the 240, I didn't know the number directly in front of me, to zero. No confidence. The union voting against him. 60-some did not vote, but there was not one, not a single one who said, maybe he's just misunderstood. You know, maybe we're like, I like him, but I don't know why. Not one person voted in confidence of Sheriff Nanos. You know all about leadership. You know how everything starts at the top. What's your reaction when you hear that?
You know, sadly, I wish, you know, this is one of those cases, and what we're covering with the Nanos angle, I wish there was solid answers on this, only because I don't get shocked by this kind of stuff, because I was surrounded by this kind of stuff. You know, anyone that works in an organization, and even some organizations that are for profit, but if you're going to work in a government organization where people don't have to produce something to sell for profit to actually fund everyone, you're going to wind up with situations where you're going to have leaders that really suck. And unfortunately, you get a lot of them. And what happens is when systems become institutionalized around dealing with just bad leaders and learning how to work around them, That's what's become sad, because you start tolerating morons at the top. And so, yeah, seeing this, I wasn't shocked by it, not surprised. Actually kind of impressed that they so many would put their names on the line saying, we want this guy gone. Now, is it going to make a difference at the end of the day? Only if Nanos will make the choice himself, because there's really not much anyone else could do. I know the town council was meeting on it yesterday, Board of Supervisors. But all they're going to do is ask him to step down. And I didn't hear the results of that yet, though.
The levers that can be pulled are slim to nil, because the way, and I just did a whole piece on this, so I'm trying to go off of memory.
Right.
Essentially, if he refuses to provide this report that he needs to provide about his responses and what's going on, if he refuses to do that, then he can be removed. But as long as he complies and provides the report and shows up to answer the questions like he's required to do, they can request he gets stepped down, but they can't remove him. So that's independent of what those answers are. He can hand them the menu to Applebee's and go, here's my report, and go, well, he did turn in what he's calling his report. He's going through the motions. And that's essentially how the law is written, is if you go through the motions and do what is asked of you, doesn't mean it's good or acceptable, but as long as you do it, then you've checked the boxes. It's one of these things where it feels like when these laws were made and these rules and, you know, were put in place, nobody was thinking somebody may try and circumvent these in such a ridiculous way that we're going to be put in this situation. There's such assumptions, it seems, on so many of these standards, procedures, and practices that people are going to be acting to the best of their ability. When in reality, we're running into situations here where they're just not.
You know, it'd be really good to, I mean, it'll be interesting. So he appears to be living in the in the court of public opinion. I mean, that's one of the reasons why he ran for sheriff to begin with, is if you only run for those positions because you want to be out front, you want to be seen, you want to be heard, and you want to run your mouth. And so, I mean, just think about this. If he stays in place and doesn't step down, even if they completely 100% solve this case, he's not going to benefit from that in a court of public opinion. They're going to say they did it in spite of him, right? So he's not going to win if he stays, you know, in the court of public opinion. Mm-hmm. And the only way he can actually preserve what he has left of any reputation, try to salvage it, is take one for, he could say, I'm taking one for the team. The public's lost confidence in me. I get it. I'm going to step down and I'm going to let it play out because I care more about the investigation rather than and my negative impact on that I'm having on it. Because that's what happens. You know, when I was getting ready to go on a show the other day, you know, I was researching the impact this has on cases across the board. For one thing, typically, I haven't been able to find a case where people have actually said the leadership out front did a great job. You know, when it hits this level, I just can't find one where people are jumping up and down and said, hey, the front man was a great guy and the investigators underneath them were good. Typically, we say the front man sucks and the investigators are doing a good job. That is typical. Mm-hmm. But being able to come back from that, it's I don't know how you would ever do it.
I don't see it. That was kind of what I was thinking earlier too, when I was working all this out. It was just there is no upside to this to stay in power, and it's like you're almost. I mean, he's retirement age. Like just be done. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Consider yourself lucky that for 42 years nobody checked your resume, that you were able to sit there and get away with a bullshit resume for all of that time. And it took 42 years for it to finally come out. And it was by his own you know, verbal diarrhea that it was found out because he lied. And then he lied and he backs it up going, well, I didn't think you were talking about everything's beyond Pima County. The question was, in your career, that doesn't mean exclusively Pima County. And maybe he's just an idiot. Maybe he really did think they just meant Pima County. I wouldn't put that past him. He doesn't seem like the sharpest crayon in the box. So I guess that is possible, but I don't care. I don't care if it's possible. The question was clear. You didn't apply the standards of the question to your knowledge, and the answer that came out of your mouth was inaccurate. That's called a lie.
And how you do one thing is how you do everything. And
yes.
So when you see it in one aspect of his life, then you're going to see it manifest everywhere else, because why would he change that behavior in one place? Yeah, no, we are the same person everywhere, especially when time has an effect. I mean, people can act for a certain amount of time, but if you're in place for more than a couple days, week, month, or definitely years, who you are at your core is going to come out. And we don't shift who we are in major swings. We shift who we are, even if we have an aha moment and awareness take hold. It's a slow rudder shift. And since he very clearly has not gotten over to himself, and it's all about him and trying to please. He's trying to please a public by making it about him. I mean, just it's all over the place. But again, it's sadly predictable. That's why I haven't really personally focused on it, because I've taken it as a grain of salt that typically I ignore the top because. Yeah. The point I was meant to make a second ago, I forgot, was this. What happens is guys like him, they don't derail the investigation, but they damn well slow it down because of this mixed messaging. Because what happens is when you have this kind of public, the only public facing front of the organization, people see disorganization, so they don't trust the organization, which means people aren't going to trust whether if I send in a lead anonymously, whether it's going to be handled properly or even handled at all. Mm-hmm. And also the biggest thing ever is, and we talked about the other day, his ability for interagency operation. That is so critical on major cases like this that all the investigators, his investigators, have the resources they need to execute the investigation to find Nancy and find a culprit. That is it. And all those things typically get handled at the top level or while you're working on something else. It's your team that's going to do it, but he typically is the individual that should be reaching out, that should be accepting offers of help and assistance, as well as reaching out and getting offers of assistance. But when you don't have trust in an organization, it slows down, or his own ego and vanity gets in the way, or he gets stovepiped into, I'm going to do it this way because I've done it this way before, like where he's going to send the DNA to, or how he's going to do his messaging, whatever it is, he's thinking like this, and he's got zero, apparently, who knows, but it looks like zero loving critics in his life saying, hey, you might want to consider this. You can see him railroading right through with his agenda, with what he wants to do.
It's worked for 42. He's got 42 years of reps of doing it successfully.
Yeah.
So someone telling him, like, you can't do it this way. Yeah, good luck. Like, good luck telling him it doesn't work that way, because it has.
Yep.
It's worked all the time for him for all those years. It's not the first time. I'm sure he's been told this is not the right way to do something, and he just keeps doing it. I mean, that's how he seems to operate and has been allowed to operate for all of that time. A lot of people, I mean, the question I think so many people are asking, because they're good, moral human beings who wouldn't imagine going into a job and having lied on your resume in such an extreme way. Everybody pads their resume to a certain extent. You know, we all, like, we talk ourselves up a bit, but, like, blatant lying is a little different. Like, no disciplinary issues. I mean, just completely flat out lying about your history is different than making yourself sound a little better than you actually are. And that's clearly what it looks like he allegedly had done and got away with for 40 some years. And people are like, how does someone then function for 40 some years, knowing that that shoe could drop at any day? Because I think most of us, if we did that and we got into that position, we were able to create that ruse enough to get to where we were at, I think the whole time I'd be in that position, most would be like, wait till they do an audit of this and check this out. But some people never do. It's like once they get past that, the gatekeeper, it's like, I'm in. And that seems to be, and why? Because for a lot of people, that's just how it works.
Yeah, you're seeing nepotism at its best. Not nepotism from the standpoint of your higher friends in there, but there's this phrase inside the bureau. I don't know if it's still there, but it was, we had the rabbi system, it's called. If you had a rabbi above you and you got in their good graces by taking care of them, making the boss look good, focusing on their career, you'd be included in that club. And you know what? We're going to take care of your career too. It was always important for me as an investigator, especially on these massive operations I'm doing, and as well as consulting for my agents that I was consulting for on the behavior side of the operations. Again, we've said this numerous times too, strategizing the operation or the investigation for my case agent clients when I was running the behavioral team, that was the easiest part in the world. Because you're dealing with one or two individuals, how to have a great conversation, inspire them to trust you to solve a critical life challenge in their lives. That's really what everything comes down to. Even when you're trying to get someone to confess, you're trying to inspire them to share information in exchange for helping them solve a critical life challenge of going to jail for the rest of your life, potentially. You know, I can maybe mitigate that. I can be a resource. I can actually speak on your behalf. So there's lots of ways in which to communicate. That's the easiest part in the world. My entire energy, both in my own career and then consulting with our case agents in the field, was what kind of leadership are you dealing with? My first question always with every single case agent is, what does your bosses think about this case? Because that's the first thing I got to deal with, because I will always assume that a case agent, an investigator, is doing the righteous work. If they're going at it, when you got a plate of a million things in front of you and you only have time to hit five, there's a lot of trust that they're going to pick the five most pressing things that could make a huge difference in people's lives, national security, whatever it is. And so when I got a case agent that says these five things are the most important thing, or this one thing is most important out of this whole buffet, all right, I'm all in. I will do all I can. Now we have to think in terms of how do we inspire management or a guy like Nanos to support us to do this? And so you start managing that. You know, we called it, this is what organizations call leadership up. This is where you got to lead your bosses to your conclusion so you can do the righteous work while you're managing their career for them. Because most of these, not most, who knows, a lot of these people, like Nanos, they care so deeply about their career, which is that public image, which gets me elected, that they lose sight of the actual operations and things that matter to their citizens.
It's amazing how that can, it's amazing because I think you probably go into it, you know, with those things being very close to the vest, very close to your heart, very close to your goals and your identity. And slowly that erodes over time in that quest for power and control. And some people, I guess, are more drawn to that, to the, what was the, someone said, the siren song of celebrity. Some judge said that recently in a case. I forgot what it was, but somebody said the siren call of celebrity. It is kind of that. I mean, whether it's celebrity or not, but it's being the top dog. And it's more important to be the top dog than to actually be right or do things in any sort of way that you're being held accountable or effective.
Think about that. We see this all the time. So, I mean, we've been talking a lot about not just, you know, Nanos and the Guthrie case, but we've been talking about the Duggars, you know.
Yeah.
So here you got Jim Bob in IBLP, you know, a ultra conservative religious offshoot of baptism, of Baptist Church, right?
Yeah.
And so the initial, so I just finished the book that his daughter, one of his 19 kids wrote, as well as the special Shiny Happy People. And what's really, really interesting is we see exactly the same thing. So let's presume he joined and went into this organization because of great family values centered on family. Children are a blessing from God. All these great, beautiful things that fathers are the protectors and then the church above that. I mean, on paper, without doing very, very surface level, it sounds very nice. It sounds like they're doing it for very altruistic, you know, humanity, family-centered reasons. But then over time, he starts making money. He gets deals with the Learning Channel with 19, you know, the 19 mm-hmm. kids and growing, whatever, you know, show. And he gets all these deals. And I think the number came out in the book. They said he probably made about $14 to $16 million that he'd never give any of his kids 1 cent to. And then finally, his eldest daughter is battling because she's undergoing tax stuff where he was claiming that he paid her but never gave her the money. And so she's actually having to claim she's getting hunted by the IRS.
Yeah.
She's having to battle her father, who's then justifying his actions. Why I did this? Because I gave you a roof over your head. I gave you a car insurance. And, you know, so here's a dad that said he did everything for his family, that mission statement, but in the end, it was greed, control, and power.
But he's believing his story, I think, the whole time.
And so is Nanos. Yeah, so that's exactly, my circle yeah, back yeah, is that, yeah. So here's a guy that joins law enforcement. I will always presume the best because people don't join organizations. All right, I'm going to join this organization and just be an ass. But it happens. Mm-hmm. And so he joins the organization for all the righteous reasons why people go into law enforcement to protect, serve, and take care of your community, right? But then along the way, he gets that taste of power. The dopamine starts flowing. And then in his mind, you see a whole pattern throughout his life. The ends justify the means. Well, if I want to be in leadership and take care of my people, I'm going to have to fudge my resume a bit. I'm going to have to exaggerate it here. And you know what? All my buddies will back me up because we got the blue wall going. So you can kind of envision this is what's going on in his mind. And then you get addicted to the dopamine. You get addicted to the power. And so as the sense of me takes over, the sense of other starts shedding out. Hence, my book is not all about me, because that's exactly what happens, is that we get so addicted to ourselves with no check and balance from a loving critic saying, as my wife's famous quote all the time is, anytime it's something to come up, a potential thing in my career, she'd always look at me and goes, why you? It'll totally derail anything. It's like, you know, why indeed? You know, what are my goals and priorities in life? Because she would always say, you're going to be home more around the family or home less? That's all we care about. It was always having someone ground you. And people like Nanos, zero granted. People like Jim Bob Duggar, zero, because his wife had to be subservient. She had to be, so that's how the systems get corrupted. It's like no check and balance from the top, except people like us.
And then people, it's we're seeing that in so many situations. When one is in that sort of state where they're so insulated from any outside exposure or opinions or voices or thoughts, then you also completely fail to see the long-term effects of your existence, of being even in that position of power to which he's in, to which he has the power to solve cases, to affect people's future existence, freedom. I mean, down to granular levels, the power that is there in a position he lied to get into. Now, what does that do to 40-some years of cases when we look back on it now? Because I can guarantee, after his testimony the other day of basically he lied to get this position and to maintain this position about his track record there, all of these cases basically saying, you know, he was hired under false pretenses, all of those cases are going to take a look at that and go, oh, so if he hadn't been here, then this couldn't have been done in this case, and that couldn't have been done, and that led to a guilty verdict over here. I think this is new evidence, or I can't say how far any of that's going to go in a court of law, but if you have anything that is, you know, reasonably questionable and just needs to be pushed over that edge a little bit to be relooked at, it probably will be. And maybe that's a good thing in a lot of cases, to have them relooked at if things were pushed in one direction or not. But it can also be a bad thing for cases that really were solved justifiably. The right person went away, was punished the way they were supposed to. But now all of those go out to be questioned as well, because he existed in a position that he wasn't supposed to be in the first place, because he lied. And that's one of those things he never thought of, because it was all about him going into it and maintained for 42 years.
Yeah, because guys like him think the ends justify the means.
Yes.
And so if, as you know, and it's guys like Bob Mata who would actually have a heyday now going back and looking at,
oh God,
you know, defenses that might have been tainted because he was the one that the ends justify the means. Yep. So we're going to re-examine all the evidence, re-examine how it's all collected. So I would think that they're going to go back and look at, or someone would look at, the cases that he was investigating. Now, granted, when he hit the leadership positions, it'll get harder to do that. Mm-hmm. But again, they'll probably do, and I would say that anyone that was dismissed, any cases that he personally touched, anything that he personally had an interaction with, will get a second glance or a third glance or a fourth glance by a lot of people for a long period of time, which creates, again, it creates chaos. And the sad thing is that I really do think he's got a good department, because, again, we went through those numbers. The clearance rate of his detectives is really, really good, which means they figured out how to work around this guy. But what happens is, when you get some self-centered narcissist at the top, he'll claim credit for all their work. And so it keeps serving. Well, I'm doing a great job, and my way of hammering them, my way of doing this is working, because look at our clearance rate.
Yeah.
Not taking into account that your clearance rate is great because you happen to have great people in spite of you.
And imagine how much better it can be if everything was working as intended.
Yeah.
You know, and like, if it's working that good and you're shit, imagine if there's somebody good here in that position, how it could be like, if this is how good you are firing on not all cylinders, if you were firing on all, oh my God.
Yeah. Well,
let's get there. That's what the public wants. That's what you're serving and protecting wants, not this whatever the hell we have going on here. But there's so many questions. It's going to be very fascinating to watch and see if Nanos takes what I would say at this point is the righteous path and just steps down. And it's like, I'm okay. And we're going to get into that here in our next segment. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. The links are in the description, and be sure to press subscribe wherever you are getting podcasts.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.